devotion. What's the difference in a devotion and a Sunday school lesson? You don't get a handout. That's the only difference. But I did print out the scripture that I want us to look at. And this is going to be too music. I'm going to do a dramatic interpretation. I just want to draw our attention as we think about Christmas to one passage of scripture. It's going to help us understand who Jesus is. Comes out of Colossians 1. I'm going to start with verse 15. So we ask the question at Christmas, Teresa, help me understand exactly who is Jesus anyway. And so you want to know who Jesus is? Paul says, I'll tell you who Jesus is. And he tells us exactly out of Colossians 1. And we're going to start in verse 15. And what I hope this will do is just very briefly help you adore Jesus this Christmas. Start in verse 15. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, both visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. Stop right there for now. Those statements that I've just read to you about Jesus are absolutely exclusive. I told you things about Jesus that are true of him alone and no one else. And what they tell us is that Jesus is utterly unique. There's no one else like him. He is beyond everyone else. In fact, he is infinitely beyond everyone else. And his coming in the manger, it actually has become the most widely known event on the face of the earth. In fact, the calendars of history are set by his birth. Before Christ, after Christ. The angel said to Mary, this is Jesus. You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Isaiah said his name will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. No one else has ever been like him. No one ever will be. Now let's go back to our scripture and let Paul help us this morning to adore him. Go back to verse 1. He's the image of the invisible God. That means he is the exact representation of God. He is a reproduction of God. He is God's replica. That's what that word image means. And Hebrew says it this way. He is the radiance of God's glory and his exact representation. Jesus is the very substance of God. That's why he could say in the Gospel of John to his disciples, if you've seen me, he told them, then you've seen the Father. Colossians 2:9, if we were to go to the next chapter, says this, in him, in Jesus, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And verse 19, just jump down to verse 19 and look at it there. It says, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. Now, don't miss this morning. He is the full manifestation and revelation of God to us. He is God in human flesh. He spoke the most profound words ever spoken. He had the most influence on the world, the most impact on humanity. It's without equal. He did the miraculous. He did it repeatedly. He did it publicly. He did it undeniably. He did it very dramatically. He knew the future. He predicted things about himself, about the nation of Israel, about the end of the world. He showed us the character of God, his love, his kindness, his mercy, and his grace. He came into the world, and he made the invisible God to be visible to us. And then it says he's the firstborn of creation. That means he is the preeminent one, the supreme one ever born. And I'm hoping this morning that, thank you for your music, Heather, it just helps us to come and adore him together. Take time this season to marvel at his wonderful person. And then go to verse 16, for by him all things were created. It says, both in heaven, on earth, visible, invisible, and all things hold together in him. Listen, you're not just dealing with some man when you're dealing with Jesus. You're dealing with the very creator and sustainer of the universe. And whatever is in heaven, and whatever is on earth, and whatever is visible, and whatever is invisible, all of it was created by him. He was before all of it, and in him it all hangs together. He keeps everything moving. That is who is lying there in the manger. The very creator, the very sustainer of all things. We'll find also in verse 16 that he's also the unseen ruler. Look what it says. It says right there in the middle, all things were created by him. And then he says visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities. He's speaking of ranks of angels there. We're talking about the different levels of angels. He's subject. They're all subject to him. He rules over them all. And that night, out of the shepherds, the very angels that announced his birth were created by him and were subject to him. And then we find in verse 18 his relationship to the church. It says that he is the head of the body. You know, when the Bible speaks of the church, many times a metaphor of the body is used, and Christ is the head of the body. And that just makes sense because we understand it's our head, it's our brain that rules over our whole body and tells our body what to do. This just illustrates the fact that Jesus is the source of everything. He is the source of the church's existence. And not only that, he is the church's most prominent member. Paul tells us he's the beginning. That means he's the forerunner. He's the leader. He's the pioneer. He's the firstborn. He's the one who is first place in everything. And he has no rivals. In him, all the fullness of deity dwells. Now, why did God do all of this? We'll close with the last couple of verses. Go to verse 20. And through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him, holy and blameless and beyond reproach. That tells us exactly why God sent Jesus. In other words, he came to save sinners. That is why he was to be called Jesus. He came to remove the curse, to reconcile the universe to its original created purpose, to gather people just like me, just like you, to save us, to rescue us, to bring us back to God. That is the meaning for Christmas. And I'm so thankful we have this time during our year, and we have this time this morning just to set aside to worship him and to adore him. Let's take that opportunity. It's one that the world gives us to focus on him, to proclaim him, to worship him, to speak of him, and to live for his glory. And that is my prayer, that we will come and adore him together during this season. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for the gift of Christ. It's amazing to think that he can take us. We are hopeless sinners. And yet he can shed his blood, reconcile us to you, and help us, Father, and to make us where we're able to stand before you, holy and blameless. Oh, Jesus, how we adore you this morning. We adore you together. Thank you for what you've done for us through the shedding of your blood. We praise your name together. I pray, Father, that you will bless each lady in this class. Pray, Father, that you will help us this season to steal away, to ponder these things in our heart, and to adore you. You're so worthy of our praise. You're so worthy to be worshipped. And we bless you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Merry Christmas.